I'm Randy Hahn, and you're listening to another podcast from Tealtown, USA.
Hey now, everyone. Welcome into a little Tealtown talk this evening, coming off the edge of a Joe Thornton one-game suspension. Welcome to Tealtown here, and we are joined today by one Mr. Ted Ramey, providing you the morning tide for San Jose Sharks. How you doing, Ted?
Well, can I be honest? I'm a little pissed off right now, I got to admit. I get it. Player safety, totally at a premium. But where is this same application for the officiating, which hosed the Sharks in game number two of what would have been a 4-3 lead? And listen, the referees have the hardest job in the world. I'm not blaming them in the slightest. The review process is where things got lost, and because the penalty was called, and it's not good. I'm frustrated right now. But AJ, Eric, what's going on, guys? How are you doing? I don't want to be all gloom and doom right off the bat. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I think many of the Shark fan base is probably doom and gloom after the last two games and then this going down. But doing all right. Trying to spread that optimism of some sort for game four.
Well, let's just get into, I mean, we can go back and cover the three games real quick. I mean, you obviously have first game works out great for the Sharks. They didn't allow Reeves in their head. They played a solid game, got on the board, looked really good. Hurdle looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was just an all-around quality game. They played 5 minutes of hockey, of opening hockey, did not let in a goal. That was a bit of some sarcastic applause occurring at the beginning of that game, I'm not going to lie. The wheels kind of fall apart, and it all, as you said, kind of starts with the blown call on Couture. And again, it's look, you want to take that call away or you want to take that goal away, that's one thing, but to then give Vegas a power play on that, it's a hard road to find anybody who agrees with that aspect of it. But the Sharks again cough up one early, they go 1-for-8 on the power play. That's, you know, the refs have nothing to do with that. I mean, you got 8 chances on the power play, you only bury one. Then game three. And you allow a goal for 16 seconds of the first, first 26 of the second, first 31 of the third. That's not a winning recipe by any stretch. But for me, this, and as you were saying, the inconsistency. Look, I get the refs every sport. I don't care what sport it is. Refs are going to blow calls. I'm fine. That's just being human.
Yeah.
But the thing that I have an issue with is the inconsistency from the Department of Player Safety. When you see a hit at the end of December from Erik Karlsson on Austin Wagner, point of contact is shoulder to shoulder, even admitted to by the Sportsnet broadcast on that, you know, the Canadian homers, if you will, they admit that's a shoulder to shoulder hit. Erik Karlsson gets 2 games for that. The very next game, the Sharks play Arizona, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson totally tags LeBanc in the dome enough that his head bounces back and actually hits the glass behind him. No call, no hearing, crickets from the Department of Player Safety. Then you've got Sam Bennett in Calgary. Game totally in hand. 2 minutes, if that, left, who skates halfway across the ice to go drill Radim Šimek. No hearing, no nothing. And again, the Sportsnet guys saying that was a dirty hit. Your own broadcast crew is saying that's not a hit you make. And then game three, Justin Braun getting his bell rung from Braden McNabb, who does have a history.
Yeah.
And nothing, not even a hearing. Yet later in the game, Joe Thornton, I mean, we just want some consistency, man. Like, at least, you know, look, if you're not going to give McNabb anything, at least, like, act like you're doing a job and, like, call him in for the hearing, you know?
I mean, that's just the frustration that I was getting to. And, I understand. It's a very hard job, and player safety is at a premium, and the league is going to look at the things they're going to look at because – you know, there's never more eyes on the league than there are during the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I get it. But, yeah, I mean, the inconsistency is frustrating, but I think that, you know, more than that, and I getting away from the officiating and these things, the Sharks have left it to things like this by letting in goals in the first minute in five of the last six periods, and you give up two shorthanded goals in game number two. You're shooting yourself in the foot. It's not so much that the Sharks are, you know, allowing Vegas to just manhandle them. They're not even giving themselves a chance in these games by letting in these early goals. And yes, like I said, I'm frustrated about the jumbo suspension. I'm frustrated about the call. But when you play this far beneath what the Sharks are capable of, you're opening yourselves up to these opportunities. And that's the most frustrating part to me. And I hope that there is a correction in game number four, because the Sharks, even without jumbo, still very capable, still have a lot of top end talent, still in this series. It's 2-1. There is a lot of hockey left to be played. My prediction from the get-go was Sharks in seven. I'm sticking with that. I know some people think that it's over after three games, and I don't know. That's crazy to me, because this is the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, last year, everybody was saying, oh, Ovechkin's down again, 2-0. He's another Stanley Cup failure for him. And then, if I recall, he spent most of the summer drinking different types of alcohol out of Lord Stanley's cup. So, which, Eric, I know that you would like to do as well. And I'm sure AJ can do
yes.
it.
Yeah. you know that if I'm able to drink out of the cup, I will absolutely do that for sure.
And let's also point out a fun little fact as well. You roll it back to a year ago, the Sharks down 2-1. And what did Martin Jones do? It was a 4-0 shutout for the Sharks to tie that series. So, I mean, stranger things have occurred. We can see Jones have a bounce back game. God, I'm hoping for that. You know, the numbers have not been friendly to him this season, but, you know, the team in front of him also not playing their greatest. I mean, you've got last night, I remember Sorensen getting caught way deep in the neutral. Mm-hmm. I think LeBanc was with him at the time. It's like they are just not getting back on defense. I remember Meyer getting his ice time reduced a little bit towards the end of the season for basically gliding back on defense. The guys just are not playing defense right now. And I don't know. I mean, I thought Erik Karlsson looked fine in game one, but these last two games, and then the numbers bearing it out that he's been on the ice for like 9 of 11 against, it's, you know, that's obviously not something you want to hang your hat on. And in fact, I think somebody pointed out that Erik Karlsson's been on the ice for more goals against than Martin Jones has.
that's a little distressing. I mean, obviously he's coming back from injury, which is part of it. But I believe that specifically in game number three, that his ice time is down compared to what it was in game number one as well. And, you know, I don't know if that was just a point of I mean, after you get down, maybe they're thinking, okay, it's 5-1. Maybe you're going to keep him off the ice a little bit more because you don't think that there's a comeback there. They get two on the board. It gets a little bit more interesting from that point. It's 5-3, and then they get one back, and it's 6-3. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's all – This is the fun part of the news cycle, because we're all wondering what's going to happen in game number four, because literally everything could change in game number four. If without jumbo, the Sharks level this series 2-2, right? All of a sudden momentum would completely swing the other way, and people would be saying, oh, now the Sharks have jumbo coming back, and now Martin Jones is reborn. And, you know, it's game to game, and we'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, I mean, this is just where we are right now. And again, I'm still saying let's regroup when game seven is completed. And I would not be surprised if game seven goes OT. I'm still sticking with that prognostication, which, yeah, I know. It's
let's get our oxygen tanks ready if it goes to game seven in overtime.
Eric, how many years off your life do you think Sharks playoff games have taken from you?
Well, it all started back in what, 95 when we went into 94 into overtime. Yeah, probably about good 30 years.
Yeah. AJ, what about you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got to be at least 6 or 7, it feels like. you know, I mean, what was the one? What was it? Dallas?
Quadruple overtime. That's the one that I don't think I've ever felt the same after. Maybe a ventricle was lost. That did something to my heart. But yeah, man. But the thing is I keep coming back for more. That is the the glutton for punishment aspect of me. I can never get enough. And because it is pretty darn fun. I mean, game number one was such a scene out of the tank, and that place was as loud as I've ever heard it. AJ, you were there for game number one, weren't you?
Yeah, we were there for both.
Eric, were you? Yeah.
Yep.
See, for game two, I had to fly with the Quakes to Houston, so I did that one remotely, and it looked like it was an awesome atmosphere as well. But game number one, when Vlasic scored that goal off the beautiful, you got Kane going jumbo behind the net, and jumbo sets up Vlasic for that third goal. That's about as loud as I've heard the tank in recent memory. That was a special moment. So, I mean, it's, you get the positive and you get the negative out of these things. And right now we're riding a negative. But I'm hoping for a bounce back and a manic version of me after game four.
Well, see, now talking about game four with the jumbo suspension now laid out, how do you think Peter DeBoer addresses this and deploys his lines? I mean,
I don't know, because have we found out anything about Haley yet?
There's no word on Haley, and even more shockingly, no word on Vlasic. But of course, everything's close to the vest this time of the season.
Of course.
I already kind of had it in my mind that, you know what, the Sharks, just after these last two games, that Haley, he really hasn't been that much of a factor. He clearly hasn't been any type of a factor that is going to dissuade Vegas from taking any type of liberties. So maybe it's a case of, you know, I kind of already had that either Radil or Donskoy was going to slot back in, but now without Jumbo,
yeah,
it's, what do you do? Do you all of a sudden switch everything up? Obviously the Hurdle and Couture things is going to stay the same, but
yeah,
do you move Pavelski into that spot?
And I was wondering, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I don't know what exactly the adjustment is here, because having Jumbo as that third line center, that was one of hockey's greatest hacks. You know, it was like, it was like a cheat code. Because you put that guy out there and he's still such an elite passer. He makes everybody around him so good. Even though he's not as fast as he once was, he is still as big as he once was, though. I saw somebody collide with him the other night, and I swear he just kind of looked at the guy and laughed, because you could tell the other guy was trying to go in and get some physicality on him, and just kind of bumped off Jumbo, and he just kind of smiled. So you love having that aspect out there, and the passing obviously makes everybody around him better, but yeah, I don't know how exactly Pete DeBoer is going to handle this. And if it was me, I would try more of a reshuffling, because at the least with that, you're giving Vegas a different look defensively. If you know, obviously you don't want to shake up everything, but if you do kind of come out with some different looks, you might create some new problems for Vegas that maybe they were not previously prepared for. Whereas before, they had a pretty good idea in terms of the tape, what the Sharks were going to do. There was more of a, you know, there's more paper on that. So now maybe you throw something a little bit different off of them and it's puts them off kilter. I don't know. It's distressing right now.
Absolutely. It makes me also wonder, like, how, you know, when we're talking about playing things close to the vest, it almost makes me wonder if DeBoer is just going to like close off practice to the media tomorrow morning, just because they don't want any reports of what they plan on deploying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't even know what the rules are on that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I don't know. I mean, it's gut check time, obviously. I mean, this is going to be a game for the Sharks. If they can get this game and level it at two, making it a best of three series, it changes everything. The other one, like you alluded to, is Vlasic. And that one, I mean, Eric, AJ, tell me what you thought about it. I still can't figure out. I mean, we all saw the play where he was hit up high by the puck. I've never been hit with a slap shot in the back, I got to admit. It didn't look that bad.
No.
So I'm wondering if that was the play where he even got injured, or if we just time it up with that. Because for all we know, it could be something entirely different. I mean, again, My getting the hit with a puck experience is limited. So, you know,
one of the things that I saw when I was looking at trying to locate where he got hurt. Yeah, he takes a shot, but it looked like he took it like maybe, you know, shoulder. I didn't think it was his face. But right before that, as Vegas was beginning that power play, I noticed Vlasic's head went back a little bit. And I'm wondering if he got a puck or a stick or a body part that kind of hit him in the face, that kind of made him woozy beforehand, and then that adds onto it. But that's pure speculation on that. And that's one of the things that I think the Sharks have learned in recent past is perseverance of whether it's an injury or a bad call goes away. Now that it's happened in a playoff series and where this team is, I mean, we've talked about it for the entire season, the best team on paper, and you're battling with these injuries, these bad calls, the struggles with winning streaks and losing streaks, what can they do to persevere with a lineup that's already, you know, fairly bruised up?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the difference when we look at 2016 when they made the deep run and got to the Stanley Cup final. They were healthy. Last 2 years, they were not healthy, specifically Jumbo, dealing with the injuries. And then this year, again, you get Carlson back and you get Pavelski back, but now you're dealing with Haley taking the puck off the ankle. You're dealing with Vlasic, whatever it is that he's going through. Now you've got Jumbo suspended for game number four. We don't know where exactly Carlson is with his, return from the groin injury, the second groin injury. It's really hard. I mean, this is why, you know, winning Lord Stanley's Cup is the hardest thing to do in team sports and North American team sports. You can make the claim, you know, just because you can't. Hockey players are known for being so tough, and you know they are banged up, but the difference that overall health can make for a team, it's staggering. And that, to me, is the main difference between the Sharks making the deep run in 2016, not seeing it happen in 2017 and 2018, and then it might be the limiting factor here in 2019. That said, we're three games into a best of seven, and suddenly you could find the entire script being flipped. And to a greater point, I think this, to me, for the West, and this isn't to discount anybody else in the West, but I really do think whoever comes out of this series alive is probably going to be headed to the Stanley Cup final again. This, to me, is very similar to what we saw with, if you want to make the comparison to the NFL, it's like when you had the Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they would do battle, or the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks in 2012 and 2013. It was whoever comes out alive, that's going to be the team. And I feel like that's what's happening right now in the West. And that's with no disrespect to a team like Calgary, who I think has done some great things, and I've really enjoyed watching them this year. I just think that the capability, the top-end talent on these two teams that are playing between Vegas and San Jose, it's simply on a different level. And again, I hate that to sound disrespectful, because I also probably would have said something similar about Tampa, and things are going so well for them right now. Because they're at the end of the day, I'm just a pundit or a personality flapping his head, and I'm not out there on the ice. So there's my knowledge only goes as far as the actual game. Because like I said, I always said, oh, Tampa, of course. And then they're down 3-0. I did not predict that.
No, I've shown me the bracket that somebody had that happening. But
outside of Ohio.
Yeah. Outside of Columbus, Ohio, yeah. Cincinnati, probably all Tampa. It's funny though. You mentioned 2016 though, if I remember correctly, wasn't Hurdle out by game one or game two through an injury?
Was he? Final, yeah.
Yeah. I guess final. That sounds right. So, but he was not as impactful a player at that point, and he was still on the mend from the first knee injury, right?
Yeah. Right. So I'm just saying that there's that, but yeah, I mean, a lot of injuries. There's Haley. And I still think if you go back and look at Haley taking that shot off the ankle just before then, when he's trying to stop, it looks like his skate catches a rut, or so his leg did not stop the way it was supposed to. And then bang, he takes that shot from the puck. The other key injury that we haven't even mentioned is Radim Šimek.
Yeah.
I mean, the run that the Sharks went on once he was installed as Brent Burns' defensive partner was fantastic.
Yeah, so that was the best they looked.
Yeah. So I don't know that gets enough play. It drives me insane, because I would just, what a series this could be if both teams were fully stocked and healthy. It would, for me, it would just be one of the all-time matchups. As you go back to football, I would consider that somewhat close to maybe 93-94 between the Niners and the Cowboys. Yeah. I mean, that was the time when the Super Bowl meant nothing. Well, that's all about the, you know, that's when the NFC championship was the real Super Bowl
for sure.
Yeah. It was like the actual Super Bowl was damn near not watching.
it was whoever the Niners or the Cowboys were going to blow out.
Yeah, you know, whether it be Buffalo, whether it be San Diego, whoever. Yeah, it was just going to be speaking of Vegas, or if I remember correctly, I think the 49ers were like 26 point favorites in that game at one point against San Diego. I mean, it was insane. Right.
So, what was the final score? 49-26? 40?
Yeah. So, you know what? That's where I'm getting the 26 point. They were 21 favorites. I know that they covered the spread.
Nice.
Yeah. I financially know that they covered the spread.
Spoken like a true degenerate. Cheers.
Yes.
Cheers to you.
Absolutely. So, I don't want to dominate any more of your time. I know you got life to live, but thank you very much for joining. If you'd like, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and let them know what you're doing on SoundCloud with the Sharks.
Yeah. Okay. So we did a kind of just a sports talk podcast. For those of you that don't know, I used to, because my show did not get a lot of publicity, but for 3 years, when people are like, really? I had a talk show on TED 50, as we like to call it. And my whole thing was I was the guy who actually talked Sharks, which is, Eric, you can testify to that. I did talk Sharks, true.
I think I called like every time you said Sharks and I went, oh, I can call radio station talk hockey.
Oh, I remember calling in and T-Rame.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. See that? I was about to say the town remembers. I was trying to think of a Game of Thrones reference there. This whole idea was born of the fact that I was driving around when the Sharks made the acquisition of Erik Karlsson, and I turned on my radio and it was just crickets from sports talk in the Bay Area. And A, I was furious because if I had a show, I would have been all over that. You can bet your sweet Bippy that. And then B, it was like, I knew I was not the only fan in that boat. And so it was kind of like, well, let's start talking about this. And, you know, Scott Emmert and I had been having a conversation for a while at that point, and it was just kind of something that had been building. So now we're doing this on SoundCloud and it's being distributed on the Sharks digital platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, on their website. I'm sure there's a link to it on the Sharks app as well. And it's called Morning Tide. It's sports talk themed podcast. And we're doing, you know, the whole instant reactions to the game, getting into post game cuts, doing interviews, just the whole model that teams like the Giants and the Warriors and the 49ers are given on AM sports talk and FM sports talk in this market. And I, you know, my goal was like, let's do that for the San Jose Sharks. And, you know, more so than the podcast aspect of it. It was just more of like, let's have sports talk on digital demand that's ready for people to go, so that when they hop in the car for their AM drive, they can turn it on and listen to Sharks talk and hear about the team that they love. Because Sharks fans do not, I mean, and this is no fault of the Sharks, because, you know, the Sharks PR staff is unbelievable, but that it's how the Bay Area is. There is a lot of talk about the 49ers, the Giants, and the Warriors, and everybody else kind of gets ignored, and it's not really fair. And, it's unfortunate, but I understand that that's just how the market is in terms of who owns the broadcast rights. And It's a much longer conversation at that point, but Sharks fans, like you guys, do a fantastic job, and you know that Sharks fans love the content you're bringing out, and they know that they can turn to you guys and get a valid opinion about it, and you want more of that, because the other teams are afforded that by, you know, existing sports talk platforms. So, you know, that's what I want to do, is provide a little bit more of that, and, you know, I think it's going really well so far. I'm enjoying it, and for me, it just, you know, I want this ride to continue, because I don't only want to do this for 7 games. I want my beard to get long. It's never going to be like jumbo, but I want to have this great excuse. And, you know, when we're a week into June and people are like, dude, what's with the beard? It's summer. I'll be like, cause the Sharks are winning. You know, it's my dream. But yeah, so it's available on SoundCloud, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's called Morning Tide with Ted Ramey. I'm Ted Ramey, for those of you that don't know. Ted rhymes with red. We got something going on here. I don't know. But, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on. You guys are doing awesome work. And let's do this again. Let's hopefully talk after a win when we go from one polar end of the spectrum to the other. Because I think you guys, like me, are just a little, for lack of a better term, we'll say frustrated at the moment.
Absolutely. And, you know, this whole venture that we're doing here, this all was born from the fact that the Sharks did get no play on local sports radio. So it was kind of like, well, let's just do it ourselves. And so here we are. You can find him at Ted Ramey Media on Twitter. But where is the term bet your sweet Bippy from?
Seinfeld.
Mm-mm.
That's what George says. You better bet your sweet Bippy.
And where did he get it from?
Oh, see, I don't know. It's probably like some New York musical Broadway or something.
No, you don't remember a show called Laughing? Martin and Rowan's Laughing?
Nah, I've never seen Laugh. I know.
That's where Lily Tomlin got her start. Goldie Hawn. See, I'm a sucker for this is way before I was around, but my parents were big, you know, 60s hippies, and that show was like SNL before SNL kind of a thing, where it was just very political, topical, sketch type stuff. But that's okay.
I'll have to go back, because mine, the one that I go back to, I'm obsessed with the Johnny Carson show.
Oh,
I go back and watch the old episodes of that just because it's such a wild look at how society was, and like Rickles being on that show and just eviscerating people, but doing it with a smile and a twinkle in his eye, and Johnny Carson making himself the butt of the joke. That's where I was as a talk show host. I was like, make myself the butt of the joke, because it endears you. That's what Carson did. He always had it reflect on make himself kind of someone that everybody else could laugh at, but he would do it in a way that kind of made him the authority. It was it's brilliant. But I like going back and looking at past comedic ventures. That's the way you do it.
Best episode ever: Bob Hope, Dean Martin, and George Gobel. Hands down, best Carson episode ever.
You don't quite get an accumulation of names like that in today's TV late night shows.
Not quite. Well, and you know, and back in the day, I know we're totally going off topic, but back in the day,
that was the Gary Radnitz show.
Oh, I wish I would have had my rim shot sounder.
There's nothing wrong with going off topic.
Well,
hey, Mike.
No, the thing that I loved about Carson back then too is that the guests, they'd stay on the whole time, and sometimes they'd interject if there was something going. I forget the gentleman's name. There's a British guy who does, where he just basically has everybody come out all at once.
Oh, James Corden.
Yeah.
No.
He's talking about on the BBC. Jules.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Or Grant.
I think it's Jules Holland, because he's the guy.
No. I think Eric's onto it.
Graham Norton or something?
Yes.
Like that?
Yes.
Oh, okay, maybe that's who it is. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He's really good. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. I could go back on YouTube and watch old Carson stuff for days. He was so great. Yeah,
I gotta do my laugh in research. I know of it, I just don't know it specifically well. But that's a Larry David thing, I'm sure, because he was, you know, George is more Larry. So
yeah, all that, all the old Lettermans. Yeah, I could watch that for days.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
All right, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, guys. Go Sharks.
Go Sharks. Thanks, Ted.
Take it easy.